Thank you, Jerry. That was lovely. Good morning. It's wonderful to see you all this beautiful fall morning. Oh, she sat down. I was watching her jumping. And I said, made me tired to watch. Good to see you all this morning. Lots of things are happening, so you'll want to make sure you read your bulletin and take it with you to see what all is going on in the life of the church. A couple of things that I would point out to you, though. Spooktacular is coming up on October 27th, and I heard this the other day in the hall. Well, I don't go to that. I don't have children. Wrong. One, it's really fun. Really fun, I'm sure. I haven't been to it here, but I've been to it other places, and it's just fun, isn't it, those of you who have been? And the second thing, did you know that Spooktacular brings a lot of people to this building? A lot of them. In the parking lot, in here for the spooky concert. I know you've been practicing the spooky music. And you know what those people who come here need to know? They need to know that we are friendly people. And you all, if you're friendly, you should come. And you're all friendly. Well, there's that one guy, but no, I'm just kidding. You're all very friendly people, so come and be hospitable to our guests that night. That would be a good idea. The other thing I want to let you know is that on October 26th is the Inclusive Church Workshop. So you all don't know, but I listen to hear what's happening out in the world. The Inclusive Church Workshop, I highly recommend it. It's going to cover all kinds of great things. People are going to be the guy that's coming is from the Western jurisdiction of the Methodist Church, and he's going to give a lot of information, all kinds of things, including one of the sessions I noticed is about conflict resolution. And our world is full of conflict right now, isn't it? There's so many deciding things and divisiveness. So I recommend the workshop. But I have heard people say, that's all day, 9 to 3, I don't have that much time. Well, if you don't have that much time, that's okay, but you can still help. Connie Ballas is putting together the lunch that day, and she could use help with that. If it's just bring some things, bring some items for the day to eat, that would be great. If maybe you can't come all day, but you know that a little after 12 or so, you might be available to help come clean up from the lunch, or different parts of the day, you can hear a little while you're helping a little. So if you can't make the whole day commitment, that's all right, but see Connie, call her, and tell her how you can help out, because we are hosting people from a lot of other churches. We think there'll be about 50 people here, so she could use a little help. So if you will help her, please let her know. You last week saw a video about Crop Walk, and it's next Sunday, but wanted to invite Vicki to come and share a little bit more about it. Vicki?
Some of you may be new to the Crop Walk and wondering what it really is. These are community-wide events sponsored by Church World Service, and they're organized by local congregations of all different faiths or of groups, other groups, across the United States, and their aim is to end hunger, obviously, here in the U.S. and around the world. There are approximately 800 walks a year in 44 states. Church World Service is a faith-based organization whose mission is to provide just and sustainable responses to hunger, poverty, displacement, and disaster. This year will be their 50th year of crop walks, and it's the 34th year for Boulder County crop walks. Boulder County has been a big player in these walks. They raise quite a bit of money. The walk will be held at Westview Presbyterian Church, at 1500 Hover Street in Longmont, and it, as Pastor Stephanie said, it'll be next Sunday the 20th, starting at 2 o'clock. We're asking people to be there at 1:30, and you can register with me out front in the narthex. Hunger is a great injustice facing our world, and as you saw in the video last week, 12% of homes in the U.S. face food insecurity, and that number is higher for households with children. 821 million people worldwide face hunger. That's 1 in 9, so it is a major problem. How you can help? You can raise funds through donations if you want to be a walker and join those one of those 800 crop walks. Last year, those 800 walks earned $8 million to support 1,670 food banks and soup kitchens, as well as international anti-hunger work by Church World Service. Boulder County gave 75% of its funds to Church World Service, 24% to Community Food Share, and the remainder to Bread for the World, which is a Christian organization established to end hunger. Last year, we had 173 crop walkers in Boulder County, and they raised $28,000, more than that. This year, we hope to have 200 walkers and to gain $30,000. So you can sign up in the Narthex to walk, or this year, you can even rock. The church up at Westview Presbyterian will have rockers in the sanctuary, and you can just go in there and rock from 2 to 2:30. Walkers will start out at 2, and there's a short, flat, 2-mile walk on sidewalks that sets out from the church, and then there's a longer one that's 6.2 miles that goes around beautiful Lake McIntosh, which has a view of Mount Meeker and Long's Peak, and is host to some bald eagles and their nests. So walk or rock. Rockers will rock up there from 2 to 2:30, and dogs can come. They're welcome, but not in the sanctuary. Thank you.
Was Rock of Ages to go along with the idea of rocking. So we want to practice walking as well. So if you are able to, please stand and walk around and meet someone maybe you've never said hi to before this morning.
Good morning. Our congregational introit today and for the next 3 weeks is going to be For the Fruits of This Creation. We're going to do verse 1 today. Jerry's going to play it through one time just for those of you that are unfamiliar with it. If you will all stand, that would be great. Responsively with me on the call to worship. As the rains pour from heaven, soaking the earth that it may produce good things,
so God pours us love upon us, that we too may produce good things.
We have been blessed with many gifts and talents. Come, let us worship and celebrate the mighty love and power of God.
You may be seated. That was a lot of him. We all thought that was a lot, but we appreciated you singing us a nice song. Thank you all. Hi, I'm Pastor Stephanie. Some of you know me and some don't, so I haven't done children's time for a little while, so I thought I'd say hi again. It's good to see you all. So today we're starting something that the grown-ups have to talk about a lot in church called stewardship. Exactly. Well, I'm going to tell them a lot more about it during the sermon when you're having fun at Sunday school. But it's about we, the church, the people of the church, have to take care of the church so that you can come for Sunday school, for example, and all kinds of other things. But that's a really important one, isn't it, to have a place where you can come and see your friends and go down and do things and be over here at the playground and have Miss Larissa to help you with all of that. Whew. It's important. So that's what it's about. But really what it's about is vision. Do any of you know what vision is?
Yeah.
What is it?
So vision's like your icon. Well, not like, it's
contact.
It's kind of like eye contact with someone else. And
seeing things
around you.
Very good. Seeing things around you. Very good. How many of you have had vision screening at school ever in your whole life? Most of you. Some of you haven't yet. You will.
What are the glasses for?
You'll find out. What are glasses for?
For the sun.
You have glasses? You forgot them? Well, that's okay. These glasses, I have these glasses, they're all seeing. These are for the sun, because if you're outside and it's sunny, and it's their vision gets scrunchy, right? In church, we talk about vision as what we're going to do next, and we ask for God to help us learn about and see our vision. Do you think God could help us understand what we should be doing as a church? What do you think some of the things that God wants us to do? Any ideas?
Being good and
being good.
help your parents
good.
When they're sad.
Yes, Julia?
Sharing the love of Jesus.
That's what the church should be about. That. What else should the church be about? Bless you. It should be about blessing us, definitely. Other things?
It should,
you're right. Yes?
Peace.
Oh, that's a really good one, isn't it, for the church to be about peace? She says om. Where you can tell you're in Boulder. Yeah. No, lots of different kinds of peace. Peace is wonderful in the church. So anyway, that's what this time is about, to help us figure out what the church should do next and how the adults are going to take care of it so you can all be here. And the scripture I'm going to read later is about blurry vision. And so I got us all these. What do you think? Do you like them? Would you all like a pair? You want, well, just pass them. We can have a second pair.
Or we can pass it.
Just pass them down, whatever you end up with. It doesn't really matter. When you get your glasses, though, can you put them on? So I won't still. Does everybody down there have some? Do you all need more down there? Here you go. Everybody hand them down. Orange is nice. Everybody have a pair?
No, not me.
One more. Everybody got one now? Put them on. Let's see. Go ahead. How do we look? Everybody look at me. All right, we're good. So these are to help us have good vision, all right? And parents, they are UVA. So we can have good vision for the church. What do you think? Do you think they can all... Yes, you can keep them. They're present for you all. Do you think that they can help us have good church vision?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's pray. You ready to pray? Can you all pray with me? Dear God, help us...
Have good vision.
Your vision.
Amen.
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 You can go to Sunday school. If you need to take your glasses off to see better inside, you can. Thank you all.
It's because I forgot my glasses.
One of the ways that we care for each other, and I love the children's answers always, is by sharing in prayers. And I know there's been some confusion or some question about how we're doing that these days. You'll see that there are prayer cards in the pew pockets. There's also a big stack of them in the table in the back. And we encourage you to write your prayer concerns on those cards and to turn them in. And then if you want them to be public, we will share them in the bulletin. But we're doing that way to kind of help with some privacy, because I think that we should all pray for Doug, he might not want us to say that out loud, just to say. So please write those on the card. We do read them. We pray for you every week, and we encourage you all to share in prayers that way. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come to this place on this crisp fall morning giving thanks. Giving thanks for the beauty of the earth. Giving thanks for the sun and the sky and the blueness that we see. We give thanks for our vision and the vision that you cast for us. Help us to remember that we are to be stewards of your earth, not just of this church, but of all. We come this morning full of joy at watching our children and being a little silly together. We come filled with joy at meeting friends again after a week. We come together, also experiencing pain and sadness. Help us to find your peace and your love. Help us to find your joy in the midst of a difficult or hard time. We come this morning prayerfully, worshipfully, ready to be in your presence, God. Help us to open our eyes, to see you all around us, to feel your very presence. Help us to remember the prayer that your Son taught us as we pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we come to the time of offering, I realize I should have offered you something. Because there was confusion, wasn't there, just there, about should we stand or sit? Oh, we always stand for this one, but the choir didn't stand. She's not standing, and they are. Oh, my. We thought we'd try not standing for that hymn, because it's just a short little thing in between sitting and sitting. And so next week, I'll try to tell you. And if not, just stay seated if you'd like for that one. Because you have to stand up and sit down plenty, so we'll try that for a while. But the ushers are here ready to receive our gifts and our offerings, so I would invite you to think about that which God has given you.
Thank you.
for the gifts that you give us and those that we return to you, we ask your blessing. Help us to be good stewards, God, of all that you put in our lives. Amen.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture today is from Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 9. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of his age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes.' The word of God for the people of God.
To call them.
Thank you, choir. One of the things I got to do a couple of weeks ago was go to the end of the retreat, and I asked them what pieces of music they worked on that they had really enjoyed, and that was one of them that spoke to many of you, and it was wonderful. What does it mean to be a Christian in today's world? That's a question we are always asking ourselves, and it's a beautiful way to ask that question. Today is the first Sunday of the Stewardship Series. And you're here. Thank you. I confessed on Facebook, if any of you look at Facebook ever, that I don't like stewardship. Never have. Never really understood why we should do stewardship, because I think that you all should give generously to the church because of your relationship with God, not because of anything I say or not because of any cute slogan we might think of for the year, just because that's what God asks of us. That's one of the answers to the question, so what does it mean to be a Christian today? But we do stewardship every year, and here we are again. Several months ago, I sat down with Steve, and we planned out the year. I think we're good through the end of the year pretty well. And for stewardship, I came up with this idea, and it was to base it on John Wesley, because it was easy. And John Wesley said that we should earn all we can, and that's always a great sermon because people love to hear about earning all we can. And then he said to save all we can, and people are pretty good with that too. That makes good sense in our future. And the third is to give all you can, and that was going to be the last Sunday of stewardship. It was going to be the hit at home, really bring in the money sermon. And I just wasn't really interested in it, but it filled the bill and it would be okay. So that's what we were going to do for stewardship. But we're not now. Because over the last couple of weeks, the whole idea of stewardship has started to get me excited. And I have to tell you, this is a first for me. And I am really excited. And I'm excited because of the last few weeks here at Mountain View and some of the things that have unfolded and just the way stewardship has come about. I'm excited. So I changed it all. We're not doing the whole earn, save, give thing. It's still good. It's a valid idea, but not doing that. I want to tell you how this all kind of unfolded and some of the things that have happened over the last couple of weeks that have made me excited about Mountain View and where we're going. Well, we knew stewardship was coming up, and it's important, of course, to have a theme for stewardship. And it's important to have some kind of nice drawing for stewardship. So I met with the stewardship committee, and we were all, And Susie Burley, who couldn't be at the meeting, she sent some ideas, and she said, I think our theme should be the best we can be. And we all thought, well, the idea is good, but somebody already uses that, we thought. Maybe the Army, I think, is be all you can be. Same idea, but no. And then there's an anti-bullying campaign about be who you can, the best you can be or something. Ugh. And so we started to play with that because we like the idea of being the best we can be. Actually, Susie said, I tell you that all the time. Let's not worry about the denomination. Let's just be the best Mountain View we can be. And we thought, oh, that's cutting closer. The best Mountain View we can be. And we sort of set that aside and we realized this year that we're planning for, the stewardship drive is really for 2020. 2020 vision, 2020, we're Mountain View. Oh, those all have to go together. But it didn't quite. And so we played with it some more, and finally we came up with 2020. Envision the best Mountain View. Not just to say that we should be the best Mountain View, but to really think about what that might look like, what that might entail, and to start to get excited by it. And we started to feel that way. What's God's vision for us here at Mountain View? And could that be something we'd get excited about? And then some more things started happening. I went to the SPR meeting, and it was fun. SPR is the Staff Parish Relations Meeting Committee, and that's sort of the personnel meeting for the church. Some of you have served on that. And I have to tell you, I went to that meeting, and I came out of it excited. Now, Jean Bowen is our chair, and she does a good job anyway. But usually those aren't exactly in the classification of exciting. They're a work group that has to get things done, and we have tasks before us, but it was exciting. Some of you would say when it's exciting, that's bad. But it was just exciting because this happened. We started talking about the staff. Not the people on the staff. They're all wonderful, and we're excited to have them there. But what it is that they do. And are they doing the things that make the most sense to move the church forward? Or are they doing things just because that's what that task has always been for that person? And we started talking about how we would look at that moving forward. And so next month, we're going to actually do sticky notes and envision the best use of our staff and the best gifts that they can bring and the ways that they can best be the best Mountain View staff. And I left that feeling encouraged and exciting. And then, a few days after that, I got to go to the nominating committee meeting. Have you been to that one, some of you? I asked them this question. It's a question I've been asking everyone in this church. What's the purpose of this committee? What's the purpose of this committee? Well, they came up with all kinds of things that sounded really good, but none of them looked like they believed it. And finally, some honest person in the room said, well, really, our job is to get names for all these slots of all the committees. And that was the honest answer. Not maybe the best, but very honest and very true. And that's true of nominating committees at all churches. Have any of you served on the nominating committee? Sometimes people go on that committee because it doesn't meet very many times a year, or because it's how they can be sure that they won't get called to be on a committee they don't want to be. Or, I don't know why, people just agree to it because they're committed, and that's a good thing. And that wasn't exciting, though. And then we started to talk and figure out what would be exciting. And it wasn't what one person said, that, well, a lot of people have me on their caller ID and they've blocked me. That's not the good, exciting thing. What could it be? What could we do? And we started envisioning how to be the best Mountain View based on the people here who are serving in different ways. And that started to be really exciting. And you'll all be happy to know we didn't mention the single name, so no one's going to call you this week. It's safe. You can take all those phone calls. But I left there excited. Excited because we didn't talk about who do we plug into all these slots, but what is our role? Because you know the real name of nominating is lay leadership. And at the end of the meeting, we started thinking about that, about leadership, not just nominating. And how do we create that atmosphere of commitment from people? Not of obligation to go to meetings, but to be involved in ministry. And I got excited again. And as I got more and more excited, I thought, wow, maybe I haven't been looking at stewardship correctly. Maybe I need to ask some different questions. And I thought about this scripture for today. Did you hear what Jordan read for you? That's quite a story, isn't it? Did you hear that story? Did it raise a question for you? Because the story is about a man who's going to get fired because he hasn't done a good job being a manager. And so his boss says to him, go out and settle the accounts because you're done. And so the guy starts to think and he says, what is going to happen? I'm not going to have a job. I'm not going to have any money. I know. I'll go tell everyone that they only owe half of what they think they owe. Which is weird in and of itself because he's just cheated his boss out of half of all that's owed him. But then Jesus says, good job. What? What? Does that story make sense in any world? Sometimes we can make sense out of it in the ancient world, but I don't know. How would you feel if one of your employees took away half of all that was owed to you? You wouldn't be pleased with them. You'd have questions. But instead, the boss says, good work, you can have your job back. I don't understand this story, and that made me start to think about questions I have. And I tried to look at it differently in different ways, and, well, it's giving away things on earth so we can get into heaven. That would preach in stewardship, but I didn't really like that interpretation. You're welcome to it if you'd like it. Maybe the point of it was to stop and make us think about money and possessions. Did you know that Jesus talks about money and possessions more than anything else? Anything else. I believe that's because Jesus knows that our money and our possessions get in the way of our relationship with God. More than anything else. And I started to think more about it and read the passage again and thought, I don't know. It does make us stop. And Jesus says to the disciples when he's telling them this story that give away things now because we are more shrewd than the children of light, which means those people who follow. Uh-oh, I think we're in trouble. But he goes on in this passage to tell us a little more, and I want to share with you a little further down the story, and maybe that helps us. Down at verse 13, it says this, "No one can serve two masters." Have you heard this before? Mm-hmm. "Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." Some of the old people in the room who read King James, mammon, but now it says money. Same difference. You can't serve God and money. God and mammon. I like that word. It's a good word, isn't it? Mammon. Wow. What does that mean? And I thought a lot about that because I thought to myself, who was I serving as I was creating the stewardship campaign? As I was thinking about preaching, and I realized I was serving me. That's not who I'm called to serve. I'm called to serve God and you all, but first, God. And God was putting all these exciting things into my heart, and I started to realize, wow, if I truly serve God, then I'm going to be talking about why we should do what we do, how we can be the best Mountain View and the best vision for this church. What's our vision? Do we have one? Do we need one? Definitely. Now, some people have told me the vision over the course of many years, or some people can tell me the slogan from last year, but what's our vision? And if it's to be the best, what does that look like, and how do we get there? And do you all have a role in that? Absolutely. And is it about giving your money? Sure it is. If we had unlimited funds, oh man, what would we do first? If we had unlimited funds, wouldn't that be exciting? But even if we just have enough, won't that be exciting? So part of creating the vision is money, and that's what we're talking about the next couple of weeks. But there's more to it than that. It's opening our hearts to understanding where God would have us lead. I didn't like the idea of defining stewardship the way I had been defining it. That didn't fit in. The way I had defined stewardship, and some of you may have defined it this way as well, it's 3 or 4 weeks in the fall where the preacher talks about nothing but money and they give us a card to fill out. That's stewardship. That's not very inspiring, is it? Stewardship, according to the dictionary, is taking care of that which we've been given. That starts to sound better. And what have we been given? Mountain View. We talked about it a little bit with the children. Amazing things. Before the choir season started up, Stephen told me you didn't have a lot of members in the choir. And I thought, oh, great. And then you started singing, and I thought, where did he hide all those extra voices? Are they behind the screen? Where are they? No, this is the choir, and you all do an amazing job. Why? Because you are inspired by God to do what you do. And it helps. And it takes us all to a place of worship, and it is amazing. You're right to be proud of them. They do good stuff. What else do we do good? Have you noticed the kids up here? That's good. Last week we shared with you that we've hired Larissa to be working with the youth ministry. Because you know something that I know for sure? Teenagers today need a place like this, where they can be loved, where they can talk about the problems of the world, and where they can be not judged. You do that here. And do you know how many people in this church go out and do stuff? Oh my goodness, the missions list, we couldn't read it all. And we support that. And I started to think about that as stewardship. And the children that come here for Suzuki lessons, well, is that of God? Maybe not, but oh my, it's part of our mission because they come here and it's a safe place. And they look around and they say, I wonder what they do there. It's part of our vision and our mission. Our stewardship is to take care of what we have and to offer it up, to do good things with it. And we are. as we've been talking about stewardship and struggling a little about what does that look like, and as I've kind of said to myself, I have to be different. I have to serve God in this time of stewardship. Not money, and maybe not even all of you, but I have to think about the vision, our path forward, and I started looking for scripture. I figure it's 2020, and we're Mountain View, and there's vision to be had, and we're trying to envision the best Mountain View. There has to be scripture about vision. There had to be. There wasn't any about 2020, and there weren't any about sunglasses, but I started looking and digging deeper, and I found the scripture that makes great sense to me. This is from Philippians 3:15-16, from the Message. Now, the other versions are good, but the Message hits home. See what you think. So let's keep focused on the goal that God sets before us. Those of us who want everything God has for us. Oh, do you want everything that God has for you? Do you want everything that God has for Mountain View? I think we do. If any of you have something else in mind, something less than God would have for you, something less than total commitment, God will clear your blurred vision. You'll see it yet. Now that we're on the right track, let's stay on it. I like that. Because sometimes we don't feel completely committed to that which God would have us be about. It happens. And sometimes our vision is a little blurry. But what this text tells me, what Paul writes, is that we will have clear vision when we let God guide that vision. And are we on the right track as a church? Mostly. Of course, there's some things we got to fix and straighten up and do differently. But we're on the right track. Let's stay on it. Let's have stewardship this year be about being the best Mountain View, envisioning that together, making that our goal, making sure that we are clear in where we're headed. Amen. I invite you to stand to sing our closing hymn, which is Be Thou My I'm going to ask two things. One, that I'll offer the benediction, and we'll wait for the acolyte to come up. Can we do the first verse of Be Thou My Vision again? Can you put that up? And can after she gets here, to let her learn how to do this? It's hard work to be the acolyte. If you don't believe me, try it sometimes. Come on up. Let's sing Be Thou My Vision, the first verse, one last time, please. Go from this place, letting God clear your blurry vision. Go in peace. Amen.